Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
And now there are 10 officially. A couple more candidates got into the 2016 presidential race this week, and the parade of entrants isn't over yet.
Here and now,
2016.
You know what that means. It's time for our weekly discussion of 2016 news. And joining us this week, Rick Klein, political director for ABC News, and Christina Bellantoni, editor-in-chief of Roll Call. Hi, guys.
Hello.
And good to be with you.
Let's welcome these new entrants one by one. Here we go. Former Pennsylvania Senator Rick Santorum is in. He lost the nomination to Mitt Romney in 2012. And in his announcement speech, he sounded kind of populist.
Hillary Clinton and big business, they have called for a massive influx in unskilled labor. Business does it because they want to control costs. Hillary does it, well, she just wants votes.
Now, Rick, the party did not go for him last time. Does he have any more of a shot this time? And if not, what is he doing?
He has to broaden his appeal from what he was last time. Of course, he won Iowa somewhat belatedly 4 years ago, but he needs to be more than the social conservative candidate. And that's why you're seeing him move in this direction, become more of an economic populist, a blue-collar conservative, as he says, a working-class Republican, lunch bucket Republican, perhaps. But it's so tough because even that same niche that he occupied 4 years ago when he won Iowa and won 10 more states, was essentially the runner-up against Mitt Romney, it's gotten so much more crowded this time around. And I think there are now more people in this field than were singing in that little harmony that you played at the top.
Well, and the other thing is, some people look at, especially Rick Santorum, but some of these candidates, and think they're just making a living out of running for president.
Well, certainly if you get out there and you're making the debates and you're getting on television, that raises your speaking fees, that raises your profile, it, you know, raises the potential that you could be in somebody's cabinet if a Republican was elected president, all those things. It's a little extraordinary to me how Rick Santorum is so far at the bottom of polls at this point, given that, as Rick points out, it wasn't just Iowa. He won a good number of states because he was such a foil to Mitt Romney. And he did push that working class line a little bit. He used to give this speech about his dad's hands, right, yeah, and the working class hands. And that message is just not connecting this time, I think, because Republicans know they have a lot of good options. All that said, he's good in debates. And we saw very early in when he first started challenging Romney that someone with a lot of money can come in and help him go a lot further because of super PACs.
Well, what about the other new entrant on the Republican side this week? And this is former New York Governor George Pataki. Here he is with his announcement.
Let us move forward. So just as the dreams of that young child growing up in Peekskill, New York came true, so too the dreams of a young child born today, whether in downtown Baltimore or here in Nashua, New Hampshire, can come true.
Now, one hiccup there. Pataki was actually in Exeter, New Hampshire when he said that. But does anyone outside of New York even remember who George Pataki is?
I don't even know that New Yorkers necessarily do. But here's the thing. He's a three-term governor, right, of a blue state as a Republican. In any given year, you'd say, well, this is someone that could be a serious contender. And he time during 9/11, he represents sort of the opposite pole of Rick Santorum as well as a moderate. There would be space for that. But it's just a testament to how strong the Republican bench has become that George Pataki now would not rate anywhere near that magical top 10 that's emerging is so important for Republican debates. Pataki, certainly on paper, and his accomplishments in getting budgets done in New York, I think it's a lot of people point to that success and say there's a model there. But
you got to have name recognition, don't you? More than he does, Christina. What do you think?
I think that is a huge issue, and getting any attention in this field when you are another, you know, white man, for example, that doesn't help. And his accomplishments, people aren't as familiar with. And when you compare him to, say, somebody like New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg, who people still are talking about potentially running for president, even though he's not going to do it, people know Bloomberg so much better across the world, and Pataki just doesn't rise to that knowledge base.
Let's go to the Democratic side, and we're going to hear tomorrow from the former Maryland Governor Martin O'Malley, who also used to be mayor of Baltimore. He's expected to join the race running against Hillary Clinton, and his super PAC released this online ad this week.
Right now, we have created in our country an economy where we tell at least half of our people that they're unneeded, they're unheard, they're unrecognized, they're unseen, and they are unwanted. It is a gnawing, it is an eating, it is an erosion of the very thing that it's supposed to mean to be an American.
So similar to Bernie Sanders, who's also running, it's an economic populism, you know, income inequality, a big issue there. But what is Martin O'Malley going to have to do to really make a dent in the polls, if that's possible? Christina.
I need to know first, is that him playing the instrument in that ad, not having the advantage of the video here?
I don't
here,
think that know. Is in this case, although, yes, you're right. He does play, I think, the guitar, right?
This is one of the only things you can get to Hillary Clinton's attempt to get to Hillary Clinton's left on it. And I think all of these Democratic candidates recognize that they face a major uphill battle in this nomination. She is incredibly likely to capture that nomination. So pushing her on these issues is probably good for the party if the Democrats are going to try to continue to make that economic contrast with Republicans in a general election.
Well, and the other thing, Rick, is that, you know, this guy is the former mayor of Baltimore, which maybe would have been a benefit to him before, but right now is kind of a weakness. He's supposed to have protesters at his announcement.
Yeah, it's a backdrop that's going to cut both ways for Martin O'Malley, but it's one that he can't avoid. He was very proud, and I think he says he's continued to be proud of his record in Baltimore, and he has to make a case often to African Americans if he's going to be competitive. But here's the thing, though. You cannot win this nomination without taking Hillary Clinton significantly down a peg.
Yeah.
The candidates, Bernie Sanders and Martin O'Malley, both will talk about it. They're not running against other people. They're running for themselves. That's not how it works. Hillary Clinton is not just a front runner. She's almost a presumptive nominee.
And are they going to be willing to attack? Hacker then?
They say not, but I'll tell you, they're going to be pushed in every way to do it. And there's actually, it's not just from reporters like us asking questions. There's a big angst inside the Democratic Party that we've seen play out in this trade fight. We've seen it play out in some mayoral races recently. We see it play out with the continuing efforts to draft Elizabeth Warren into the race. They are upset over the Obama years. Liberals feel like they have not gotten everything they wanted. The Clinton years have provided their own frustrations, and that is going to manifest itself. If either of these men are going to break through, they're going to have to tap into that, and they're going to have to do it by taking her on directly.
Well, if you're wondering, go ahead.
It makes me wonder what's going to happen with former Senator Jim Webb. This is somebody who's not afraid to take her on. He's generally looked at as a kind of grouchy, angry guy who has said mean things about her in the past. And that could be a role that he would play once he ever gets into the race.
Well, if you're wondering what Hillary Clinton has been up to this week, let's listen. Here she is in South Carolina at a women's event.
You know, I said to my husband, I said, can you believe this? I mean, the president-elect has asked me to be Secretary of State. I've told him no twice, and he said he's not going to give up until I say yes. Bill says, well, as I remember, I asked you to marry me twice before you said yes.
Now, that's one clip from that event. The other one that's getting a lot of attention is she was talking about how her hair is not going to turn white if she gets into the White House because she's been coloring it for years. She's telling jokes. What is the strategy here, Christina? What is her strategy?
I mean, it's so fun to watch. I loved covering that 2007 and 2008 Democratic presidential primary. She is a fascinating character, and she is able to relate to people. And the idea that she's even bringing up the idea of dyeing her hair, which I think would not have happened in 2008, it's not just that she's trying to get in touch with female voters. It's that she's actually being more relatable and personable, which are characteristics she actually has. This is not a put-on thing. It's, I feel like she was always sort of tamping them down to try to be the, like, tough, I can, you know, beat everybody and be the non-George W. Bush back then. So it's an interesting strategy, and voters so far do seem to like it.
She's also, Rick, not talking about anything controversial at all.
That's right. And there's no reason for her to try to do it. Maybe the most controversial thing she did was to bring back a little bit of a Southern twang in her.
Yeah, there's definitely an accent in there.
Oh, you can detect it there. She's gonna try to do. I actually thought that was a fascinating event on several levels. That was the most explicit that we've seen her so far, reaching out directly to Obama voters, trying to remind people that, yeah, she and Obama did fight, but they also got a lot done together and worked side by side. So people that remember that bruising, racially tinged primary fight that happened in South Carolina 4 years ago. That's the last memory South Carolina Democratic primary voters may have. They want to see a new Hillary Clinton. And I think that was a very workmanlike, kind of doing what she needs to do out in the place that's important. I think we'll see a lot more of that from Hillary Clinton.
Okay, we have not talked about four important people on the Republican side: Scott Walker, Jeb Bush, Marco Rubio, and Rand Paul. I want to just ask you each, who had the best week of any of those? Real quick, Christina, what do you think?
I'm going to say Rand Paul, and it's going to cap with this attempt to continue to block the Senate from moving on to the NSA surveillance bill. He has gotten a lot of attention. I know it's not perfect, but of these four, he's getting a lot of national attention from people that want to talk about these issues.
And Rick?
I'm going to one-up Christina and said that he had the best week, but may have also had the worst week. We'll see how this plays out. Because this is a big gamble that he's taking on the Senate floor this weekend.
All right. Rick Klein, political director for ABC News, and Christina Bellantoni, editor-in-chief of Roll Call. Thank you so much for wrapping up the week in 2016 with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.